I've been asked to present the way of salvation, and it brings to mind a little song that we've sung with the boys and girls. It goes like this: the Bible's greatest message, salvation, which God planned. I'll tell you in five phrases on the fingers of one hand. I have sinned, but God loves me, and in love Christ died for me, and if I but receive him, I know that I am saved. I like that. I thought perhaps we'd just talk a little bit about this. It doesn't say it all, and we can add to it. But how many here this afternoon know with assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question in your mind, that you are truly S-A-V-E-D, saved? I see some break into a smile. And that tells me something. I believe you have the assurance. But there's others that perhaps do not have that assurance. And this afternoon, God wants you to know, here and now, that you have eternal life, that you're saved, that you belong to him, that you're one of his children. You enjoy a relationship with him, and that you're on the way to glory. And I'm going to say something. I don't believe anybody can be truly happy unless they have the assurance of salvation. If I thought that I was going to perish or that God was going to turn against me and let me go, as some would try to tell us that we can be saved and lost again, how can there be any joy and happiness in that type of a belief? There's a man who's passed into eternity, but he started an oil business. It grew into a, shall we say, an empire. His name is J.D. Irving. And we see his name emblazoned all over the place. He's got really impressive service stations. But the Irving Company owns newspapers and paper companies, a very wealthy organization. But the founder of this organization, his name is Irving, he said, no one knows until the end of the road whether they're on the right road or not. How sad. A man that could have anything perhaps that this world had to offer, but no assurance of salvation. Is there anybody like that here today? Where are we going to start? Well, I believe we need to come to the realization that we are sinners, that we need salvation. You know, the Lord Jesus said, they that are whole, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. And here this afternoon, perhaps there's somebody that thinks that they're pretty decent people, and they point the finger, and they think that somebody else is the sinner. But what does God have to say? Now, this morning, we heard reference to Romans 3:23, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But take a look at Ecclesiastes. Now, this is in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, not one. If we turn over to the Psalms, Psalm 14, it says that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. There is none that doeth good. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This is the word of God. And people don't like to hear this. They say, this is very negative preaching. And there's a man that he preaches in Christendom, and you don't really appreciate too much this kind of a preaching. And so he likes to try to make people feel good about themselves. We don't want to beat up on people because they're already beat up on. You know, we got a lot of problems in the world, a lot of difficulties. And let's not think negatively, but let's think positively and make people feel good about themselves. But I want to tell you something this afternoon. God wants you to come to the end of yourself. And why is this? Because he wants to present to you his own dear son, who is altogether lovely. Psalm 14 speaks of altogether filthy. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? The perfections that we see in Christ are so beautiful. They lift us up. And I appreciate, you know, what has been said in the open meeting by our brothers here today. To exalt the person of Christ. And that's what we're here for today. To magnify his name. David could say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. People say, well, you know, I don't appreciate what the Bible has to say. But if you don't accept the Bible, you're going to be in big trouble. The other day, I was working on a little project and I cut a board. And I had taken careful measurement. At least I thought I had, but I cut the board and I put it in place. It didn't fit. It was too short. I thought to myself, what's going on here? So I pulled out my little tape measure. Wait a second, this board was supposed to be 25 inches. It's 24 inches. Tossed the tape measure right out the door. What's wrong with this tape measure? I see people smiling here today. Yeah. The problem wasn't with the measure. The problem was right here. Right here. And the sooner I was willing to own that, the better. Dear ones, this afternoon, this is God's measure. Stick. How do you measure up to what God has to say? You take God's word, and you're going to find that you go by his word, and things are going to work out for you. And you're going to have a happy life. And you're going to have a happy eternity. Well, I'm getting in trouble here time-wise. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I have sinned, but God loves me, and in love Christ died for me. So we're going to put these two together in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that marvelous that God loves you and me even when we were unlovable? Because this is who God is. God is love. And we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Think of the love of our God. It's so wonderful. And we are just here today to, you might say, skim the surface. It's so wonderful. People say, well, why does God allow sin into this world? This world is in a terrible state. Why? He didn't have to allow sin. The suffering now in the world as a result of sin is terrible. But you know, who suffers as a result of sin? It's God himself. And I believe that God allowed sin into the world in order to provide a means whereby he could demonstrate his love for you and for me. How is this? He allows sin into the world that he might put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's marvelous. You're not going to find this in any other religion. This is what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. It extinguishes the fact that we have a God that loves us to that extent that he would be willing to sacrifice himself. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. This is what we have here. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if we but receive him, you know, again, John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Dear ones, this afternoon, receiving is believing. Believing is to have confidence in one. Spurgeon used to speak of the little girl, you know, she's on the third floor of a burning building. She looks out the window. There's a cloud of smoke. What's she going to do? She hears a voice from the ground. She can't see anybody, but she hears the voice. Little girl, jump, and I will catch you. And she jumps. Now that, I believe, is the essence of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That little girl heard a message. She believed it. She jumped. What did she believe? That there was truly a fireman there. He was big enough to catch her. Loved her enough that he would not drop her. And so she committed herself to the fireman. And it's the essence of faith. And here it tells us You know that the Lord Jesus on the cross gave himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. Christ died for our sins. Christ also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Can you say that Jesus died for me? Jesus died. Many believe that. It's history. But to be able to say that Jesus died for me, that's salvation. It's receiving him and the work that he accomplished. Now, in Romans, it speaks about how we are justified by his blood. You know, Martin Luther, he said, the law, it terrifies. There's no salvation in the law, but it's a good thing. It's holy, just, and good because it shows us how bad we really are. And if we try to line up with the law, it will strike terror into our souls. We see how far short we come of God's standard and God's holiness. But that's good. The law terrifies, the blood of Christ is what justifies. Faith justifies. When I was growing up, my mother used to take my temperature if I was sick. And it was a thermometer that told me I was sick. And that was a good thing. That thermometer could tell me if there was a fever or not. But she didn't then tell me to swallow the thermometer and get better. There is no salvation in the law. By the works or the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's the only way to enjoy peace with God. Now, the last one, and then I'm done. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Sorry. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here it is. Believing is knowing. It's what the Bible says. I enjoy that little song that we sang with the children. There's five words in that song we need to think about. The Bible tells me so. And if the Bible tells me so, believe it. God said it. One little girl said, I believe it. And that settles it. It's faith, simple faith. And God appreciates that. And that's what saves. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You believe it? If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you will not be saved. It's critical to salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Little Rose questioned her salvation. Am I saved? Well, Rose looked at that verse. And Rose, she said, now this verse says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, she said, I have done this. I told somebody that Jesus is my Lord. And believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Rose says, I believe that. I believe that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Rose said to herself, that means I'm saved. And it seems like she had lost a sense of her salvation. But she went back to the Word of God. And she got reassurance. Well, here this afternoon, we have a wonderful God. He loves you and me. He displayed it in the giving of his Son. What more could he give? He wouldn't give less. That's what was required to meet the need of our souls. He wants us to trust him. The Lord Jesus told Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. I'd like to leave those two words with you. Only believe. So we pray. Our God and Father, we thank you this afternoon for this wonderful time that we've enjoyed over thy precious word, the Bible. And we thank thee that by thy grace thou hast worked in the hearts of many here. And we know it's all of grace. The fact that any of us have been saved, have been cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We earnestly do pray for any in this hall today, perhaps without the assurance of salvation. We earnestly pray that souls that are still outside of Christ, that they might feel the weight, the burden of their sins, and call upon thee. We thank thee for thine invitation. Lord Jesus, come unto me. All ye that labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And perhaps there's somebody here who's lost the assurance of their salvation. We ask thee that thou wilt, through thy word and the power of thy living Holy Spirit, that thou wilt work in their hearts to restore that joy of knowing that all is well for time and for eternity. So we do commit ourselves to thee, and we do again pray for those that would be traveling, for safety for each one. And we thank thee for this opportunity to present the way of salvation, and we thank thee for the prospect of the believer. For the hope of thy soon return, we thank thee for such a bright and blessed hope. And so we ask and give thanks in thy worthy and most blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.